Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is The Final Word, Australia, West Indies Daily, Brisbane. Day four. We didn't even know that we were going to get a day four, but what a day four we had. Jeff Lemon and Barrett Sundaresan with you. The show brought to you by Cbus Super. And, well, just try. See what you can do, Barrett, to try to summarise that day's play in the space of 30 seconds.
So Australia come here confident of winning this game. They're 2 for 60. They need 156 to win. Steve Smith and Cam Green bat. They bat normally. Steve Smith looks good. Cam Green looks good. Shamar Joseph not supposed to be at the ground, sitting topless with just his hat on, waiting for his shirt to come because he's left it behind. Bowls 1 over, 2 over. Bowls 11 on the trot. Finishes with 7 for 68. Bowls quicker and quicker and quicker with each delivery and ensures that West Indies produce one of the greatest test wins, greatest test upsets of all time. And this is not 38-year-old Barrett Sundaresan speaking to you. This is that 8-year-old Barrett Sundaresan who grew up in Mumbai. So excited. All he ever wanted was West Indies to win. And honestly, Jeff, you've seen me in many cricket press boxes over the years. You've never seen me jumping up and down and slamming the desk. Well, that's what happened today when that last wicket fell.
What an extraordinary moment it was. I mean, the ratcheting up of tension, the way that the game keeps shifting, the fact that Steve Smith is still there. I mean, there's that. We can try to take people through the journey of the day. So the two wickets that had gone the previous evening, Usman Khawaja, Manas Labuschagne gone, Green and Smith, they're batting on. They're looking pretty comfortable. 113 for two, and then it's the introduction of Shamar Joseph, who you'll read the story a thousand times over the next 24 hours about how his foot had been smashed by Mitchell Starc the previous evening. He'd had to retire hurt while batting. He thought his toe was broken. He went to hospital. He woke up in the morning in agony, thinking that there was no way he'd be able to bowl. They somehow gave him the jabs, gave him the pep talks, and G'd him up to decide that he could come out there and have one spell and see how it went. And my goodness, how did it go? Suddenly, he rips out the entire Australian middle order. Green, off the back of the elbow, plays it on, and it's that vicious bounce that Shamar Joseph gets that that disrupts Green stumps. Travis Head, golden duck, second time in the match. The in-swinging Yorker from around the wicket. Carey, a similar dismissal, that he bowled so well to the left-handers. And Marsh, with where Joseph stands up the seam and the ball takes the edge to slip. I mean, four in no time at all, really. And when Carey goes, they're 136 for six. And then Mitchell Stark putting on a partnership with Smith. And then Cummins coming out, who just made his test higher score in the first innings, but getting bowled an absolute brute of a delivery from Joseph that he fends through to the wicket keeper. And the runs required keep ticking down. And Nathan Lyon's out there. And then he plays a hook shot and edges one. And it's 10 runs to win. Then it's 8 runs to win. And when Josh Hazlewood's stump is knocked out, I mean, it felt to me like I thought Australia were going to do it because Smith was still there. I mean, he carried his bat in extraordinary innings, and we'll come to that. I just felt that with his ability and his sort of calm under pressure, he'd be able to he'd somehow see this off. And yet it didn't happen. But it could have gone either way so many times. I mean, it just that last sort of hour of play was just so, it was tense, was absorbing, couldn't move, couldn't leave the spot, wherever it was that you were sitting or listening or watching. I'm sure everybody else was glued to it. My goodness, like what a ride that was through that last couple of hours of the day.
Oh, I mean, just listening to you talk about it is giving me goosebumps all over again. It was that special. And you're right. And it kind of summed up the test match as well. I mean, the whole test match, 5 for 64 at lunch, West Indies on day one. Think about it. First session comes to an end. Graves gets out. And you thought it's over. Saturday, well, booking tickets, we'll go back. Australia 2-0. It's a repeat of what happened last summer. They showed some promise in Adelaide, but it's all over. Then that partnership. And then Australia lose 4 for 24. They come back. And then West Indies looked good yesterday on 37 degrees. In that kind of heat, Australia bowled them out. And then from nowhere, they lose two wickets. And just after Shamar Joseph limps off, so West Indies aren't bowled out technically, but they lose Shamar Joseph. And like you said, he's not supposed to come to the ground. He comes to the ground. But I don't think I'm going to keep this for the Hall of Fame. But this was the most remarkable part of it. He said this in the press conference. Because he's not expecting to come. He's not expecting to play. The doctor just calls him and says, come, I have something for you. He doesn't bring his stock. So he just comes like he's here coming here to support his team. So suddenly Craig Brathwaite's like, no, you're playing. We need you there. So like he described, he's sitting topless with just his maroon cap and his shoes on and nothing else. So I'm sure he had some underpants on. So he's just sitting there nearly naked with the maroon cap and the shoes waiting for his clothes to arrive. And Dario, the media manager, arrives. Like there's so many elements to the story. Like, I mean, the fact that he's doing this in his second test match and he takes 7 wickets while bowling with a broken or nearly broken toe, bowls 11 overs straight across or on either side of the break. But what he bowled 10 overs before the break, so that was remarkable. He's limping in between overs, but every time he has a ball in his hand, he's bowling quicker and quicker. I mean, that is remarkable in itself. But the fact that he was sat there just before that in his cap and not wearing anything else because he didn't bring his clothes just adds that other layer to it. But you're right. I mean, especially when I feared, as a West Indian fan, to be honest, I suddenly became that child again, like I said, was when Mitchell Stark came and started taking the attack to them. Because the 4 wickets fell pretty in quick succession. Cameron Green, obviously head fell the next ball. Mitch Marsh didn't hang around for too long, and Alex Carey didn't hang around for too long either. And Mitch Stark actually took the attack, did the right thing. Because Joseph kept attacking the stumps, he thought, okay, he's bowling full. He made the most of the length, kept hitting him straight down the ground. But then his wicket was a big, big blow because suddenly now you realize that the runs had to come from Steve Smith because, you know, Pat Cummins plays his own way. It takes a while to get going. That's where I think the game really turned. The Stark wicket for me was big, but still Steve Smith keeps him in the game. And what about that shot? Like, you know, he plays the ramp lying down of Alzari Joseph for 6. That's what brings it to 10 needed. And I think the one, like every time he gave 2 balls to Josh Hazlewood against Shamar Joseph, I think as an Australian fan, you were like, is he taking a bit of a risk? And he said that himself, Steve Smith, when he spoke to the radio. And you just knew that stump was, and you just knew it had to be Shamar Joseph who would knock the stump out.
Yeah, there was, I mean, I suppose it will be gone back over whether that was the right strategy, whether he should have just looked to see out the whole Joseph over or try to manufacture a single from the 6th ball. to shield Hazelwood completely. Elzari Joseph did get the wicket of Lyon, which was important. Dropped him as well. There was a return chance back at Elzari Joseph, and then he was able to keep his calm and come back with the wicket ball, had Lyon hooking, and just a tiny little feather that went through that the umpire did hear. And the Josh De Silva caught. I mean, we're jumping around the place a little bit here. But so when Mitchell Starc gets out, so he comes in, he makes 21 off 14. He smacks four boundaries. He's doing the thing to take them on. And that works. That gets him within 36 runs, Australia. So when he gets out, Cummins walking to the middle, you think Cummins with Smith, with Lyon and Hazelwood to come, they should get 36. You know, that should be doable from here. Smith makes another 20. Cummins hangs around, does the bit that he did in the Afghanistan game with Glenn Maxwell and just holds up an end. And then Cummins gets an absolute brute. Like, it jumped at him. It followed him. All he could do was try to get the gloves up, self-defense entirely. And it gets this thick spinning edge that goes flying backwards. And Josh De Silva, my word, what a take. Mm. Like, he just flew away to his right to grab that one. And you remember the very start of proceedings in Adelaide, how he just puts down the most regulation, straightforward outside edge, Josh De Silva behind the stumps. Dropped that catch there to start things off. The fact that he's the one to take that catch and with such a high degree of difficulty and such a lot of pressure on him, that stands out. And then, Lyon with the little swishing pull shot, and he gets the little edge through, which brings Hazelwood in. And it's interesting with Hazelwood, you have this memory of him being a player hanging around for a long time, for instance, in that test match in 2015 against West Indies when he batted with Adam Voges for a long while. But that seems to have, that's less the case now. He tends to be a shorter innings player than he was back then. I don't know if anything's changed particularly or whether it's just probability averaging itself out. But 36 to get with three in hand, you think that should probably still be Australia's game. And then the way Smith takes it on, the ramp for six, like you said, to get it to within 10, then he places a really clever two and makes sure he gets back to keep the strike, eight to win, and then chooses to turn over the strike at that point. And I'm sure he will go back over and over that as to whether that was the right decision. But he did carry his bat for 91, not out. So there's not a whole lot more he could do in the circumstances.
Yeah, and that was the story of the day, wasn't it? At the start of even before we get to the ground, it was pouring in Brisbane, a lot of rain. And you, in fact, felt, we might even not get any cricket today because it was raining till just about, I'm going to say 11 a.m. And then the rain clears and we didn't lose a single second of play today, or in fact, a single second of play during this test match. This was supposed to be the rain affected test, which in itself is quite the story. And it was about Smith and Cam Green finally batting together in their new positions. I mean, this is when they proved their worth in a big run chase. And while they batted together, they did. I thought Cam Green was getting into his innings nicely. He was the one who took Shamar Joseph for a few boundaries down the ground very early on in that spell. And Smith played an extraordinary innings. I think it was almost on par with that David Warner innings probably in Hobart in his second test when he did carry the bat. And they lost. Doug Bracewell taking the last wicket. It was Nathan Lyon on that occasion, wasn't it? So he did everything right, I thought, Steve Smith.
Same margin, too.
Same margin as well. Yeah, there you go. And I thought even with...
Yeah.
He had given Josh Hazelwood two balls. So, like you said, he backed him, and he said that as well later. He backed him, Josh, to survive two balls. But, you know, it's one of those things, right, Jeff? Like, you know, when you have those miracle days in sport when someone like Shamar Joseph comes along and he's having that day, you just know it will end one way. It rarely does it. I mean, there are a lot of heartbreaks in sport, but you just got the mood. Like, you just sense that it not only will West Indies win after a point, but it will be Shamar taking that last wicket. And it was that exactly was how it played out, and for him to knock the stump over. He didn't get... I thought the even dreamier finish would be if he got Steve Smith out. Don't forget, he was his idol, got him out of his first ball in Test cricket last week. But that wasn't to be. But Steve Smith was there to witness it all. And you know, just everything about his spell. But credit to Craig Brathwaite as well. I thought he used some very smart fields when Lyon and even Pat Cummins were batting. He had the third very fine, and also the gully slightly deep so that they don't get those runs, especially Pat Cummins. Most of his runs came in that direction in the first inning. So as good as wonderful as Shamar Joseph's bowling was, I thought Craig Brathwaite captained the side really, really well. He kept believing. He you know, I mean, because Shamar said, I won't give the ball to you, I'm going to bowl from one end, that allowed him to use to start with Kemar Roach and then Azhari. But it's again, when you see a victory like that, there will be one big hero. Like, go back to the Gabba 3 years ago when it was Rishabh Pant. But then as you kind of peel the layers of the onion further, more heroes emerge, right? Joshua De Silva taking that catch. Last evening, Justin Graves coming on to bowl right after Usman Khawaja has got out, when you thought, oh, Shamar Joseph's not there, and he gets rid of Manus Labuschagne. Imagine if Australia were just one down today. That wicket came from nowhere.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of heroes will keep emerging as we kind of revisit this test match, and I'm sure we will. Not just people who are here, but just everyone in world cricket and every fan of cricket will.
Well, I think look as well at the West Indies batting in the second innings, when you've got this batting lineup that's been absolutely monstered by the Australian quicks, but Athanase, who's had a horrible tour, manages to make 35. Cavam Hodge makes another 29. Graves makes 33. McKenzie makes 41. They're not huge scores, but they all contribute to just getting them enough of a lead that they've got enough to bowl at, that they end up being able to defend, compared to the way that they were run through in Adelaide, for instance, where, you know, McKenzie made a 50 and then the rest was pretty much tissue paper. So that was extraordinary. But then it, you know, I mean, we're talking about the Shamar Joseph performance for years. It's not just the broken toe. It's not just the figures. I mean, 7 for 68 will be iconic figures on that ground. But it's the fact that even towards the end of that spell, he nearly did get Steve Smith. He bowled him an absolute snorter that took the outside, took the shoulder of the bat and went flying away to a sort of near a fly slip, and very, very nearly carried for a catch. He bowled a bouncer to Smith at one point that was clocked at over 146 k's an hour. You know, this is a guy with a extremely painful foot, where every time he's planting his foot, he must be in agony, or it's completely numb. To be able to do that, to be able to produce that performance and turn it on, and the fact that he was smashed around as well, I mean, that's, it's almost Hall of Fame worthy. But at one point, after seven overs, he's got five, but he's also gone for 51 runs. He's got 5 for 51 off 7. So he's going at about, what's that, 42 balls. So close enough to 9 and over. And he's picked up 5 wickets on the journey. I mean, it's just an extraordinary thing. And we'll keep coming back to it, I'm sure. That 7 for 68 will be talked about in the great West Indies spells, the great spells bowled at the Gabba, and so on.
Oh, yeah, 30 years from now, I can already see that nerd pledge 7.68 and us talking about it. Maybe not 30 years. Maybe you don't have to wait that long. Maybe 3 years. And you're right. The first innings runs also mattered.
Three months,
maybe. Yeah, not 3 weeks. That'll be too soon. But I'm ready to talk about it in 3 weeks, just saying. You know, the partnership between Hodge and Joshua De Silva, that's what gives them that big total. The burst from Kemar Roach, don't forget the old man, just before the break in the first innings, Australia reduced to 4 for 24 at a time when they were supposed to just, you know, book in an Airbnb on this so-called placid pitch and make a mountain of runs, right? That was the narrative going into day two, which wasn't to be. And then I guess... there'll be so many things. There'll be Easter eggs thrown in there, which we'll pick out and talk about. But more than anything, just one of those special days to be at a cricket ground, or just to be watching it on television or wherever you were, or listening to it on the radio, where you won't forget where you were when Al-Zahri or Shamar Joseph knocked out Josh Hazlewood's off stump. And you felt for the Australians as well. You felt for Steve Smith, and Josh Hazlewood just stood there during the presentation, like, you know, his head hanging low. You felt for him. I mean, you know, nobody wants to be the number 11. Yes, it's all about celebrating the West Indies, but there's also the other side to it. So I did feel bad for Josh Hazlewood. But also the irony was, we got 2 days ago, on the big holiday, we had 27,000 people. Great atmosphere, great cricket. It was a lot of fun. Today, at one point, there were 846 people. And towards the end, I think about around 3,000 people, which is kind of disappointing for a Sunday crowd, especially when a great test match like that was playing out. I guess that was pretty much the only kind of letdown of that sort. But whoever was there was creating a lot of noise. And I saw little Australian kids go Shamar, go Shamar, as he was walking out after the break. I know facts and figures we'll talk about a lot, but it's just the emotion of being here is just something else.
Yeah, we'll talk on the weekly show about the Australian side in this as well, where you know there's a fair bit of brittleness to the Australian batting at the moment. So it seemed like a good bowling side, but there's a lot of needing to dig themselves out of holes as a batting side, and that just didn't come off this time around. But it's really a West Indies celebration today. So let's leave the game bit there, and we will come to the final word, Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Hall of Fame, the most final word moment of the day, brought to you by cbussuper.com.au. If you want to sort out your superannuation make sure that all of your different disparate funds, sometimes you work different jobs and you've got different bits of super here and there, they can roll it all together for you. And they've got over 900,000 members. And the really good bit is that there's no profit motive, there's no shareholders, there's nobody who needs a payout, and so they're able to keep their fees as low as they can and manage the fund for members by members. So check out CBUS, punch that into your search machine if you need to sort out your superannuation. Right, there's a lot to get through. There's a lot of Hall of Fame here. I've got a bit of a personal note, but this one for me, I had the radio playing towards the end. That's how I like to listen to. I like to follow close test matches on the radio. It just feels more intimate in a way. Obviously, you were doing radio coverage as well, and I was listening to the ABC at points as well. So I had the ABC on at the end, and Jim Maxwell called the absolute ears off that. That last moment, you know, it was a real turn back the clock moment, because you know you have Jim sort of meander around and follow flights of fancy and so on when not much is happening, but my lord, when the big moment was there, the Hazelwood wicket was, you know, the hairs on my arms were standing up listening to it, and he just ripped into it. He absolutely nailed the moment. If you can find some audio of the end of the match via the voice of Jim Maxwell, see if you can track it down. It's well worth it. And then Carl Hooper on that broadcast, who was almost speechless through the last 10 overs or so, just couldn't talk because he was so nervous. And then he was nearly in tears, you know, speaking to Shamar Joseph down on the ground after play. It was quite a moving moment.
I think the Hall of Fame will be filled with moving moments, honestly. And I'm not going to shy away from being a little self-indulgent. Like, I was emotional myself. I did this TV thing that Pete Lawler and I do on Channel 7 just during the break. So this is when Australia needed two wickets. And it was one of those ones where you're sitting on a bar stool and I was just jumping up and down. I know that's not great TV, but I couldn't help myself. I was just so up for this, that moment. And honestly, I mean, I guess like over the years, you kind of... as when you become a journalist, even if you are watching West Indies, I was there in Calcutta when I remember the name Carlos Brathwaite happened, but that was the West Indies team which was supposed to win. It had all the superstars of T20 cricket on that side. But to see this West Indies team, after everything that people have said about them over the last two weeks, before we get to the win, just kind of make sure that people are talking about them and, like, you know, not talking about Carl Hooper, Brian Lara, and Ian Bishop, who are in the commentary box, itself was a Hall of Fame for me. But to see the emotion on those three guys, you spoke about Carl Hooper, he broke down. I just saw a video on from the ABC commentary box. He broke down, he's emotional. I was just down there, obviously, waiting to speak to Shamar Joseph myself, and Brian Lara just walked past me. Carl Hooper was on doing radio. He just like tapped him on the back and they shared a huge hug. And then Brian Lara just walked and obviously started congratulating the team. He has worked with this team, so he knows a lot of these players. Then Ian Bishop comes. I'm just about to speak to Shamar on SEN, and Bish says, hang on, Bharat Bhai, I need a selfie with this man. And he takes a selfie with him. He gives him a big hug. And this is a first of any kind. So when Shamar Joseph and Craig Brathwaite come to do the press conference, and I didn't notice him at first. Like, so obviously, as always with West Indies press conferences, I started questions and all that. So the first question to Shamar, he just said, and to talk about this in front of the great man, and I turn around, Bryan Lara stood there throughout the press conference recording the whole thing. Like, so if you were asking a question, he would record you on his phone and then record the answer. I mean, think about it. Like, Bryan Lara's just standing there recording a press conference. I mean, it would have been special for Craig Brathwaite and Shamar Joseph. Pretty special for us sitting there as well. So, to see these guys who I grew up watching, who I looked up to protect from my brother all those years ago, to see them break down and be emotional after that was just something extraordinary. Like, it's the ultimate Hall of Fame for me, just being here and seeing them. And then Joseph, I mean, you have to go and see the Joseph press conference. It's just quite something else, like the stuff that he talked about. And there was one moment in the press conference, Jeff, when he saw one of the questions, the obvious questions was like, what do you do when, like, you know, T20 money comes your way? And look, whatever happens in the future today, he said, I know this camera, mic is live. I'm going to say I'm ready to sacrifice money, or I'm paraphrasing him here, to play test cricket for West Indies. And that's what means to me. And then you just hear this quiet applause. He turned around and Bryan Lara is like applauding him. It was quite something.
Yeah. He said, I think in his ABC interview, they mentioned, you know, enjoying test cricket. And he just said, I love test cricket. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Which warms the heart. I also enjoyed on commentary conversations on the telly, Adam Gilchrist was calling the king pair when Travis Head got result for the second time. And you remember Gilchrist's king pair in 2001.
Yeah, famous.
That famous series in India as well, when he was out first ball twice in the game. And he gave it the big ones. He didn't hold back in calling somebody else achieving the same unwanted feat. And then, and Shamar Joseph, when the last wicket falls and he just sprints off all the way to the boundary and they just couldn't catch him. His teammates just running after him. And when they finally caught him at the boundary, Kirk McKenzie jumps on his back. I'm not sure that's what you want when you've got a broken toe, to have to piggyback other players around. But that was the level of excitement. So, look, an extraordinary, extraordinary upset, a turning over of this team at home. And I mean, the Gabba, it's interesting now. Hype about Australia not losing there for 30 years, and then India knock them over, South Africa nearly looked like they were going to knock Australia over a number of times up there in that absurd two-day test, and now West Indies have done the same. So congratulations to them. It's a huge achievement, and I hope that there's a lot of celebration going on across the Caribbean tonight. Anything else from you before we go?
Just a couple of things. What you just said there, it's so important that we don't already jump on the bandwagon of West Indies are back and this is the renaissance of West Indian cricket. And I asked Craig Brathwaite
this was an extraordinary solo performance.
Absolutely. So let's celebrate it. Let's enjoy it, and not just once, but over and over again. But again, on a personal note, how much have I mentioned the name Shamar Joseph to you in the last 3 weeks? But it just, you know, I have to go back to that moment when we're in Rundell Mall and he's wearing his West Indian gear, looking at him going, nobody's even stopping him. Nobody's just like even giving him a second look. And today to just see him after everything was over, yes, it's one thing post taking these West Indian greats coming and taking a picture with him. But all the people who did show up today were there to take a picture with Shamar Joseph. Like, how your life can turn around, not just in the space of 13 months, but in the space of 2 weeks. It's a lesson for everyone.
Yep. A remarkable test match, a remarkable day, and a pleasure to talk through it all with you at Stumps. Bharat Sundaresan, thanks for running the show from Brisbane during this test match. I'm Jeff Lemon. That has been the Final Word Australia West Indies Daily. That series is done. The England-India series is still going on. We'll have daily shows from that with Adam Collins and Cameron Ponsonby as well. Okay, patreon.com/thefinalword if you like what we do, and CBUS Super if you want to sort out your retirement situation. That's it. That's enough from us. We'll see you next time. George Benson. I ain't protected, brother. I ain't fenced in. If my future question my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about